Okay. We have been speaking for the last week about the two levels of serving Hashem, and we've come to the seventh benefit, the seventh value of serving Hashem from a place of love and connection, as opposed to serving Hashem from a place of a feeling of obligation and just wanting to do what's right, because it's the law. V'tama shvihu, mipnei sh'avodah sh'irak totzah sh'mit'ororot al yedei Torah, ein ha'adam batuach sh'lo yikashel ba, mipnei sh'koach ha'tava orev la, u'metzapeh l'otam itim sh'adam mit'alemet mimena. Aval kesh'avodah hi totzah sh'mit'ororot al yedei sechel, ha'adam batuach sh'lo yikashel ba v'lo yichata, mipnei sh'anefesh eina nimshechet la'avodah zu, אלא לאחר הכנת התאוות הגופניות, ולאחר שהשכל יתגבר עליהם ומשתמש להם כחפצו כרצונו, לכן מובטח האדם שלא ייכשל בעבודה, והוא מוגן מהחטא. When someone serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu from a place of, this is the halacha, this is what the law book says, then he doesn't really identify with it. It's just, he knows that it's the right thing to do. So when he doesn't identify with it, then he's not guaranteed that he has the will to keep it up if he forgets about it for a minute. At any point, the barrier could go down and he could be distracted, and there's nothing holding him, because it's not coming from an inner place. It doesn't become his intuition. It doesn't become his inner will, his inner desire. He doesn't align himself with it. So he will keep the halacha, as long as he's reminded, as long as it makes sense. But it's a bit like, it's like someone who has ADD, where you're able to like refocus them and they're with you, but then you like that lasts for a certain period of time and they're gone again. Then you're able to keep refocusing them, and you might be able to keep getting them back and they're with you the whole time, but it's only back with you the whole time if you keep clicking and clicking and clicking and you refocus them and you call their name and they come back and they come back and they come back and they come back. That's the first level. But a person who's just focused because this matter interests them, even that same person with ADD, sometimes when they do something which really interests them, like they're doing a puzzle, let's say, right, and they're into it, they could go 2 hours focused on this puzzle where nothing in the world will distract them. And then they start getting mussar. So people say to them, oh, how come when it's a puzzle then you're so focused, when it's like studies in school then you're not? And they go, I don't know why, that's just how I work. It's honestly true, that's how they're focused. But something that interests them, they're able to be very, very focused on, they lose all. So when it's something which comes from your inner world that you've aligned yourself with, that's part of who you are and what you believe in, that you don't need that refocusing, you don't need that constantly being told and told and told and told. So therefore he says, the way he refers to it is, you're protected from sin. What does he protect from sin? Sin is something, like the word chet means something where you make a mistake. You make a mistake where you're not really interested in it to begin with, but you'll keep up your guard as long as you need to. But if you drop your guard for a minute, then you'll probably make a mistake. That's when you're not really genuinely interested. But if it's something which it's you, you've aligned yourself, you're in love, you're connected, you identify, then even if you forget something for a minute, it won't make a difference because it's already intuitive to you. Something which you love doing. Can I show you how to do it? No? So now we've finished the seven things which make the service of Hashem that comes from an inner place on a higher level. And you would think he would stop there. You think, okay guys, you got it? We've ruled out, we've bashed the lower level. Don't serve because it's brought off in a place of a feeling of obligation. Don't do it because society says it's the right thing. Don't do it because the Torah says it's the right thing. Don't do it because you feel obligated to keep up what's the right and good thing to do. Rather, just do it because it comes from an inner place of intuition and closest to God's world. So he does the opposite of that. And he says, now that we've built up the higher level, let me show you another seven reasons, but this time, why it's crucial to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu from a place of just because you have to, and because the Torah says, and because that's what's expected. And you're thinking, no, you just convinced me the other way. What are you trying to do here? But he's trying to ground us. And he's trying to give us a bigger picture of what Yiddishkeit is. His goal isn't to disconnect us from the world and say, oh yeah, I do it because the Torah is, that's inappropriate. That's for like places where they never learned in yeshiva. Okay, I'll give it to them. He's showing you how the system is built in a way which is a grounded system which gives you the ability to have the head of the ladder in the Shemayim whilst having the feet of the ladder on the ground. So, Alayla Va'er Ata, so now I need to explain what is the value of your serving Hashem coming from feeling obligated towards Torah, meaning the book says so, and you're serving the book, and you're serving the system, you're doing it because it's part of a system. מפני שהאדם מחובר מנפש וגוף, ויש בו מידות מנוגדות. המידות הגופניות מביאות אותו להתמכר להנות העולם הזה. Man is a hybrid. He has an aspect of himself which is physical, which gets sold, addicted to the physical world. ולשקוע בתאוות והימיות, ולפרוק מעליו את שליטת השכל. The way of the animal, which is not a trained animal, is one that doesn't like having any yoke on it. It shakes off anything that doesn't, that it feels is binding on it. ואילו מידות הרוחניות המעורות בו שאיפה למעוס אותה נגד העולם הזה ולא לעסוק בישובו. But then at the same time you have within you a desire just to be above everything, to be noble, to be elevated, and not to be caught up in these base things. Most people will feel both at different times. They'll feel drawn into physicality at some time, and they'll feel like, why am I involving myself in these base things at other times? I just want to be above all of this. They'll feel both. They'll feel the calling of each side. מפני שאין קנייני העולם הזה נצחים. They say like, what do I gain if I do this very short-lived pleasure? What am I going to get from it? Sometimes when they're involved in it, they don't ask that question. But when they're stopping and thinking and contemplating, then it bothers them, like, why do they allow themselves to be drawn into such base things? או בגלל הצרות והמקרים המעצירים שעוברים עליהם תמיד, הן מעוררות בו נציע אל עולם השכל העליון, אל עולם הבא. ושתי המגמות אינן משובחות. This is a very healthy line he's going to say now. Neither extreme is praiseworthy. And I said that alone. And I said that alone. Neither extreme is healthy. Neither extreme is healthy. הנציעה הקיצונית אל רוחניות. If a person gets too extremely spiritual, too into his Yiddishkeit, too much, גורמת שילכו לאיבוד סדרי העולם הזה. He'll lose his grounding in this world. He won't be based. It won't be rooted. He'll be lofty and elevated and spiritual, and it won't lead to anything valuable because he'll be disconnected from who he is. He'll have an imagination. I'm just taking it to not as far as he's taking it to, but Rav Huttner writes against reading stories of Gedolim. There's a danger in reading stories of Gedolim. You don't have to be against them. There's a way you can read them if you understand where it's coming from. But there's an unhealthy place to read stories of Gedolim. An unhealthy place is the following. Someone reads a story about a Gadol HaDor. They say, whoa, that's amazing. I'm like that. Now, they said a line which was a little inaccurate. They didn't say, I would like to be like that. They said, I'm like that. And they start trying to emulate the Gadol and imagine themselves as if they're on the level of the Gadol without taking into account where they're actually holding. Now, a very, very healthy way of reading stories of Gedolim is the following way. You read a trait that they have. Let's say you're reading about Rav Avadi Yosef and you read about his Hasmoda. And you say, wow, Hasmoda. The ability to learn for hours on end without being distracted. So now you say, well, how long would he learn for hours on end? Rav Eliyashiv, Rav Avadi Yosef, they were able to learn 6 hours non-stop without any distraction. And in Kembe Yavin, there's no 6 hour seder. So how are you going to do that? They say, well, I don't know, but they were able to do it, so I should be able to do it too. So they work out a system where they maybe skip a meal, or they daven early, and then they learn non-stop from then all the way through to the lunch. They find a way to do it. Maybe they sleep in the daytime so they can get a full night learning, 6 hours straight. They find some system where they're able to do it. And then it doesn't work. And they start like, oh my gosh, it didn't work. There's something wrong with me. I'm not the God that I do. You're not the God that I do. But I wanted to be like, how am I going to get there? That's an unhealthy way of viewing it, where you see a level where someone's at without seeing the process that they went through to get to who they got to. He writes a crazy thing. Only he could write it. I'll be tempted for this. He says, when you hear stories about the Chofetz Chaim, you presume that he never spoke Lashon Hara in his life. It's very likely that when he was a young boy, before he'd learned all the laws of Shemitah Lashon Be'iyun properly, it's very likely that as he was growing up and developing, he spoke Lashon Hara. Is that clear to say? Or is that, no. That's how he became a godol. Ein adam omed al divrei Torah, elem kein nechshal behem. A person can only really acquire Torah if he stumbles in the area. And then he says, oh my gosh, this is very important, look, I stumbled. And then he makes it his project. And then he becomes the godol dor in that area. So we don't hear the stories of the path they took. We hear the stories of the final product, and that's very unhealthy. Because then we imagine that if we're not already the final product, then we're ruined, and we're defects, and then we can never get there. That was a great level for the Chofetz Chaim, but for me it's not relevant. It would be much healthier if we would read stories of the early years of the Gedolim, of how they overcame the Yetzer, and how they trained themselves to get habits which enable them later on to be who they would be, and not read the stories of their perfection. Because those stories are only harm. When you hear a story of the Vilna Gaon was making a shahakal on his mother's milk, age 1.5 years old. So what's that going to help you? Like, how are you, what are you going to do with that? How's that going to help you come closer to the Baruch Hu? Is anything that pushes you away? You say, well, I didn't, so I'm not cut out for learning. And this one made a Siyum Shas, age 10. Amazing. Actually, tomorrow night, I have a cousin, my wife's first cousin's son, who's getting married, and he made a Siyum Shas in high school. Ido, from Ofakim. Ido from Ofakim, he made a Siyum Shas in Zahim High School. They saw how he was doing well. They let him off Torah studies. They got him a private Rebbe to learn with him. And his Seder Yom was learning 4 daf a day with a private Rebbe that the school provided. And he just went. And that was his like 4 years of high school, 3-4 years of high school, and he just learned Shas. He learned Shas. Ido, getting married tomorrow night. Amazing. So it's not healthy for me or my son to hear that story. Because my son is learning well within the Sidre Yeshiva that he's in, normal, very normal. Right, now you hear a story, your cousin, finished Shas, age 17. Where are you, What's that gonna help him? That's not gonna be beneficial to you anyway. So what's the healthy thing to do? Healthy thing is where you say, that's Hasmada. That's a real Hasmada that he was able to do that. Hasmada, I can learn Hasmada, where I'm holding. What's my next step in Hasmada? I'll tell you, my next step in Hasmada is the first 15 minutes of Seder, I'm not going to talk anything apart from learning. For me, that would be my next step. And the step after that would be a half an hour, and the step after that would be a full Seder. That could be a logical next step. So I can read stories of the Gedolim, recognize a positive direction that I want to head in, ignore their level, but just be inspired by the direction they took, and then ask myself, based on the knowledge of who I am now realistically, if I were to take that same path that they took, what would be my next step towards that path? That's how to read stories of Gedolim, in a way that builds, in a way that's healthy. As opposed to a way of seeing the end product and saying, I'm never going to be like that anyway, so forget it, or to imagine you're like that even though you're not, and then have a breakdown when you suddenly realize, I'm not the God of the door, I thought I was. So that's a healthy way and an unhealthy way. So it says, the Holy Spirit above us, you have to be grounded. You are a mixture. If anyone tells you you're a body, tell them you're wrong, I'm a neshama. And if someone tells you you're a neshama, you say, I'm wrong, I'm a body. I'm a mixture of the two, I'm a hybrid. I'm not either alone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me human. I'm not an angel, I'm not an animal, I'm a human. Adam. And Adam is Mina Adama. There's an element of man which is grounded. And therefore I have to not imagine that I'm greater than I am and see who I am and where I am and take my next step. Adama is something which can produce. Adama, earth, is something which you can grow from. You can grow seeds in. It's based, but it's a fielding ground from which you can have trees and fruits and wheat coming out of. So Adam is Adama. From the Adama, it's based, but it can grow. So the Adama is not conquered, but it can produce greatness. We have to be balanced. Having an extreme desire for Ruchnius is going to make you lose your grounding. So the example I was giving that was, if you imagine you're like God de la Dor, you're going to lose your grounding. It's not going to be your next step in Avodas Hashem. I love that phrase. What is my next step in Avodas Hashem? The phrase you have to ask yourself again and again and again. anytime you read anything of greatness or you're inspired by anything, you always say, what's my next step in Avodah Hashem? What's my next step in learning? What's my next step in improving my davening? My next step. That's what's relevant. It's not relevant what a very high level is. It's not relevant. There's once a Rebbe in the Shiva, he's not here anymore. And we were talking in Avodah Hashem. So he said to me, I asked him a question about something that wasn't clear to me in Avodah Hashem. And then he said to me, oh, that's a good question. And he started to try and do something which is a little lofty for me. And then he says to me, but that's only one level. There's a higher level. And I said, whoa, 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 whoa. The Kvod HaRav, I'm struggling with the level you described to me. If you're going to tell me there's another higher level, I think I'm just going to like lose my ability to focus on the level. So he laughed and he said, you're very wise. You're very wise. People have a nitiya, they have a drawing, they have like a desire to like, I want to hear the best, and where you can possibly get to it. But then in all their desires to hear how amazing it is, then they just drop themselves. And they forget who they are. It's a very wise thing to do to say, what's my next step? That's what's relevant to me. Hashem's not asking me to do a thesis on the highest level of Adam HaKadmon. That's not relevant to me right now. That might be a very high level, Shkoyach, that's not my level right now, and maybe when Mashiach comes we can discuss it. My next step is much more simple to me. And let's discuss those. So it's unhealthy to go to an extreme. Ve'ilu enetziah leta'avot agufaniyot. However, the other extreme, where you become animalistic and you're drawn after those, sheyilchu li'ibud inyanei ha'adam, olam hazeh v'olam haba. But if you allow yourself to be drawn after the animalistic, you lose both. You lose your physical world because you become always like needy of those things, and you don't feel like you're free in any way, you become subject to the physicality, and definitely you lose it on a humba because you're always involved in the physical thing. So either extreme is unhealthy. Just a personal, something that I contemplate, that was a polite way of saying it, is that I know that it's very in, and I see that it's successful, but it nevertheless bothers me that ruchni things, in order to be successful, are often attached to food. That point bothers me. I know that it's true, because you don't feel inspired and drawn after ruchni unless you're already involved in it. When you're involved in it, when you're in the middle of something that you're enjoying, then you don't need food right then. In fact, the food will distract you. When you're in the middle of something which is very enjoyable when you're involved in something which is... Yeah. If you would be in the middle of a talk where you're feeling from the talk inspired and you're thinking like, I want to take on something, and someone would offer you a wafer just then, you would say, shush, like, this is amazing. You wouldn't be interested in it. If you were in the middle of davening and feeling closest to Hashem, you wouldn't be interested in taking any food from him at that moment. Your feeling takes to something much deeper. But I understand that you don't see that ahead of time. It's not obvious to you that that's going to be when you hear about something of ruchni, something of an inspiring thought. You don't see that's going to be like that ahead of time. Therefore, you're not going to be drawn to it. But food, you're going to be drawn to it because that's more immediate. It's more tangible. Sometimes you say a name of a certain food and you can almost taste it already in your taste buds. You can already imagine what it's going to taste like. So that's more tangible. So I understand why it's done. But sometimes it takes such a reverse effect where people lose focus of what the goal is. They lose the purpose. And then they come for the food and they hear the shir in order to have heard the shir. But then the food is what they then talk about afterwards, and the food is what they were thinking about before, and they were polite during the shir, and they were hoping it would be shorter this week so that they could get to the food already. And I'm not sure. It worked. It worked. More people come when there's food offered, so it worked. But I'm not sure if it makes the reversal of priority, which is unhealthy. You can tell a difference between Maariv in the winter and in the summer. Pay attention to this. When you have Maariv now, which is from Musa Seder, into Maariv, then Maariv is on a different level too. When you've just finished eating and you had a 45-minute break from Torah, and then you're like rushing to the base medrash to start davening Maariv, like still kind of full and been talking about all other divrei havalim, which are allowed, not lashon hara, but just like some talk, and then you go into Maariv from that, you can sense the difference. You can sense that it's affected you from a ruchni way. That's worth contemplating. Not changing anything, but it's worth contemplating as a concept. Either extreme is unhealthy. Either extreme, when you find yourself drawn after in a way that you don't feel in control, is unhealthy. If you feel yourself drawn after ruchnius, where you feel you're not in control, it's unhealthy. You have to make sure that it's a ruchnius which is grounded. If you feel yourself drawn after food in a way that you can't control yourself, but to eat it, it's unhealthy. Both of them, when you're in control, is healthy. When you say, I'm choosing to eat, and I can choose when to stop, and you actually can, not like the people who are addicted to cigarettes who say, I can choose to stop at any point, but they can't. When you say, I can choose to stop, and you actually can, and then you choose to eat, that's fine. When you say, I'm choosing to do ruchnius, and I feel connected to it, but I also can say, one second, I have to be more grounded here, and I can pause and calm down, I know when to go to sleep when I'm tired, I know when to eat when I'm hungry, I'm able to be grounded, that's fine. When you feel yourself so drawn that you're feeling you're losing control, that's unhealthy. A healthy place could be leaning one side or the other side. It could be. That's fine. There are people who are leaning more ruchni. There are people who are leaning more gashmi. Either way is fine. But as long as you're in control, either way, as long as you're being drawn in against your will. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had mercy on us, and He loves us. Chanun Hashem, Rachum Hashem. Uva'otzem tuvo, and with the power of his goodness, the emtsa'i shal yado hu mesugal lagi aliday shleimus binyanav shal yado biyado linchos shtei olamim. V'alayan hagashi memutzat bein hasecha v'hataiva. Hashem placed us exactly in the middle. So I'll finish. We're still in the middle of this piece. Just one more mashal. I'm sure I've said this before, but it's something worth repeating again and again. Please someone look it up for me, that when I say this the next time I can say it more accurately scientifically. Because I always say it be'eris, and I'm happy to get a more clearer a measurement. But I read when I was younger that the world is designed in such a way, yeah, you know, did you look it up? The world is designed in such a way that the earth is exactly the right distance from the sun, that if it would be a little close that would burn, and then the ice would melt, and then the world would be flooded. And if it would be a little further away, it would freeze. And I don't know the exact measurements, and I'm happy to hear them, but it's not a lot. I don't want to guess, but even if it would be a few kilometers relative to Earth versus Sun, that's tiny. It's exactly in the right place where life can survive. And there's a mashal there that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching us. If you're too close to Ruchnius, right, the sun is the Shemesh, which gives life, which is the Shamash of Hashem, the servant of Hashem, represents giving life to us. If you're too close to Ruchnius, then you burn up. Burn out. You're not able to survive. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so obvious to you, and so clear to you, that you lose your free will, there's no sense of you anymore. You can't be too close to Hashem. Nadav and Avihu tried that, didn't turn out well, they were burnt alive. If you're too far away, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is too distant to you, it's not in your reach, in our case that we're bringing, that you're so involved in Gashmis that you're not even able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if you're looking, then you have no ability to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he's out of your realm of even contemplating. It's like trying to say to a person who's blind the difference between blue and turquoise. What are you talking about? I don't know what colors mean. What is the difference between blue and turquoise? It's like out of the realm so far that you can't even contemplate. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu places exactly in the area where we're close enough to know there's more. We're close enough to have a sensitivity that there is ruchnius. So we're not so close that it's just an obvious fact to us that it's part of our life, that you wouldn't have to strive towards closer to Hashem. It's exactly that middle ground. It's the perfect places. We're very thankful to Hashem for placing us. We're about to daven before HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Maariv. And we're going to be exactly in that place. But we have a choice of not thinking about who we're standing before and allowing an animalistic instinct to take over, where you just go on habit. That's one option. That's the moving away from the sun. Or you can say, no, Hashem, I'm in a healthy place. I'm looking towards you. I'm thinking about you. You have that battle. You'll be able to sense it. You live in both worlds. You're not one or the other. You're a hybrid. You get to choose which one, but it's healthy to be in the middle. It's healthy to be in the middle and turn your face towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu.